That's a good thing. I want to highlight what he said about membership class. I'll be teaching the membership class. If you're ready to become a member and would like to know a little bit more about us, we'd love having you part of that class. We're just going to have them join our regular Sunday school class over there, because we never know what we're doing in there anyway. And just be able to welcome you into the body. And if you're not ready to become a member, but you're thinking about it, come on and have the class, and then you can become a member. Or maybe we'll scare you away completely. That's totally up to you. But next Sunday, during Sunday school, we would love to have you join us there for a while. Genesis chapter 22 this morning. Good to be in God's house. Good to be in God's house. Back in the day, I attended Bible college. And from time to time, they would have speakers through to the chapel services that were guys who had pioneered churches. And they kind of scared me. They rather freaked me out. Now, what is pioneering a church? Pioneering a church is going into an area where there is no church and starting one. Or maybe there are a lot of different kind of churches, but you're going to start an Assembly of God church in that area. Today, you would do a lot of advertising. You might send out flyers and different things. You might start with a little group that is already a prayer group or a Bible study and help develop that into a church. Popular today is mothering a church, where a larger church will take a segment of its people, maybe one of its assistant pastors, and plant them in a nearby area and start a church that way. Some churches will help pay the salary of a pastor who's starting out in an area like that. But I went to Bible college 45 years ago, and we weren't that well organized or cooperative back in those days. And a lot of these guys who started their churches really did it on a wing and a prayer, especially if you were starting a Pentecostal church, an Assembly of God church. Back then, Pentecostals were seen as a little bit out there. And so when these fellows would come through and tell their stories about going into an area and starting an Assembly of God church, it was really quite an affair. If they were lucky, maybe they would have a tent. A lot of times they would just set up in a town square, get a makeshift pulpit, and begin to preach the word of God, pray for the sick, trust God for healings to take place, and get the attention of more people, and get a nucleus started, and so on. Well, one fellow in particular came to our school, and he told his story about starting a church. And he started in the town square and all that. He used to keep an axe handle handy to beat off the people who objected to what he was preaching, you know. And a lot of times those were the other Christians that they just had objection to Pentecostal or whatever. And then he talked about how the church first got started, and they lived totally by faith. Every meal that they ate was a gift from God somehow. And how hard it was as they faced these starvation, medical emergencies, and then the church finances, one thing at a time coming together. And I remember sitting there in chapel and saying to the Lord, God, you can call me to Africa if you want to, but please don't ask me to pioneer a church of anything. Please don't do that. And so we got started in ministry. We're youth pastors there in Monroeville. We went on to pastor a small church in Shanksville. And, you know, I just had this idea that I would rather climb a mountain than have to pioneer a church. But lo and behold, Barb and I attended a sectional meeting where Brother Clayton Sheridan was preaching, and he was talking about home missions. And while we were sitting there and he was preaching, God got a hold of our hearts. I don't remember what the man said. I just know that at the end of the service, we were at the altar bawling our eyes out, and more than anything else in all the world, I wanted to pioneer a church. And God called us one step at a time from there to this work had already been started. What is now the library in East Berlin is where the church had been planted, had been started when Barb and I came on board. But I had in my heart, I wanted to see God do what he said he would do. I will build my church. And I said, Lord, I want a front row seat to that. I know we could go from one level church to the other, and that's the way you climb in the career. But I want to see you do it. I want to have the stories of my own. I want to see God at work up close and personal. And the sectional leaders worked hard in those days and so on. But you kind of were pretty much patted on the butt and told, go get them, boy. And I say all of that because today's faith fact is I can trust God. And what I'm going to be preaching to you this morning, I have experienced firsthand. I've been a part of this thing one step at a time. I could tell you miracle after miracle how God showed up. It's scary, but it's exciting at the same time. And I can trust. Can we say that together? I can trust God. Get that down into your spirit. A lot of reading this morning, but I think it's good. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Wow, Lord, you take this obedience stuff pretty serious. And Lord, I thank you that you call us and you test us and you bless us and you favor us. And Lord, those of us who've walked with you for a while, just like Linda was talking about Larry here a moment ago, we can testify. You've been faithful. It's gotten richer. It's gotten deeper. It's gotten better because you're a faithful God. And Lord, we pray that as we talk about this today, we would all get closer to you, more consecrated, but especially our young ones, God, that they would catch the taste, because the world is out there with a lot of bells and whistles. But Lord, may they hear that voice from heaven. May they feel that tug of the Holy Spirit. May they make a decision, though none go with me, still I will follow, because I can trust God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Wow. God tests us. Isn't that nice? God gives us tests. How many enjoy tests? Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Tests from God cause us to make decisions. Which way am I going to go? What am I going to trust? It causes us to face obstacles that beef us up spiritually. How often have you heard the testimony? I wouldn't have asked for that, but I'm glad it happened because look what the Lord has done in my life because of it. I used to play tennis early in the morning with a fella back in Shanksville, and this guy would go for a run, and then we would play tennis. And if there's one thing that I hated in all of life, it was running. And so I asked him one day, do you enjoy running? And he took a moment to think about it before he responded, and what he said changed my life. He said, I enjoy having run. I enjoy having run. And so I mused on that. I rolled it over in my mind. It worked on me for a while, and now 6 days a week, I'm up early. I either run or lift and then play racquetball. And before I get on with my day, I enjoy having done it. In the middle of my run, in the middle of lifting, when you got that weight up over you, it happens just about every morning. I think to myself, what am I doing? There's a cozy bed and a warm house just waiting for me. The rest of the world isn't out here like this, doing this kind of stuff. What kind of a nut are you? What are you thinking about? But then I finish, and you know, I'm happy I did it. And every morning, though, a test comes. 2:30 in the morning for me. Do I roll over or roll out? Which way am I going to go? You've got the same kind of a test. It might be 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever, but roll out or roll over. There are a lot of people, even though they have a job or whatever, they just roll over and somebody else will take care of it anymore. But, you got that choice. Are you gonna face it or not? And every once in a while, there's something comes up that I simply cannot get to my routine. And, you know, for the rest of the day, I just kind of feel like a sloth. I like a slug. And you know, it just, it's not all that bad to miss a day here or there, but it becomes part of that routine. How many have found out that life isn't just a series of vacations and cruises? It's not just one after the other and on you go. Where's the next buffet gonna come from? No matter what you do for a living, no matter how much you enjoy your job, every job has its moments where you wish you were doing something other. You wish you were somewhere else. But why do you keep doing it? Well, usually because it's probably for more than just you. You're working for the family. You're working for the kids. You've got a future that you want to look forward to. Well, Abraham walked with God, and for the most part, it was great. But there were these moments, the moments of testing. And God said to Abraham, he said, take your son, your only son. And I imagine as soon as the picture of his son came in his mind, he got a smile. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him to me in a place where, God, I don't think I heard that right. Is that what you said? It would take your breath away. Wait a minute. Abraham had another son, right? He had an older son named Ishmael. And God said, take your only son. Why does he call him his only son? Well, remember what happened to the first son? Sarah came by and said, I want you to get rid of that wife and that son. They're not going to take part in anything our family has from this point on. And Abraham was like, you can't be serious. And so he went and he talked it over with the Lord. He says, you can't believe what crazy old Sarah told me to do this time. And God said, no, she's right. Which, ladies, as you know, God always says, you know, the wife is right. Well, most of the time anyway. And he said, wow. And so one day he loaded up Hagar with a little bit of food, a little bit of water, and waved goodbye to his son. So he's only got one son, but he's got a son left, and it's a son of promise, and everything good is going to happen, and everything else. And you remember that first words in our text, sometime later? I look back over the what it was talking about before, and for some time, things gone pretty good for Abraham. It was just a good life. The flocks were multiplying, and he was getting wealthier, and everybody's getting along. Hey, hallelujah, take your son. What? You know, sometime later, God tests him. So Abraham has an option. You know, he can fail the test. He could say, no, no. Remember, God had told Adam and Eve, don't eat the fruit from the tree. And they said, well, I think we will. And Abraham, this is so hard. You know, he could refuse. He could fail the test. He could settle for less than God's call on his life. He could, you know, hey, I got lots of sheep and everything else, and I'll just muddle through. Wow. Do you tell God? No. But if he takes the test, if he does what God's asking him to do, as ridiculous as it sounds, he'll be throwing himself on the mercy, kindness, favor, wisdom of the one that he knows loves him and his son dearly. Does he trust God that much? Maybe that's what tests are all about. You know, you pass algebra one, you're doing pretty good. You pass algebra, and then trigonometry comes by. You know, you trust God with sheep and goats. You trusted God to send your son away. Do you trust God enough? Wow. It's a little bit like having gone to law school, but then trying to figure out whether you want to take the bar exam or not. Well, why would I have gone to law school if I'm not going to take the bar exam? That would have been for naught, right? Okay, well, if I'm going to yield to God, but then not do what he's asking me to do, how does that work out for life itself? If we've surrendered to God yet fail to yield to him, we're missing out on what our life was created to be and do. I don't know if you've ever talked to anybody who felt like they missed a turn somewhere. Like God had called them into this or that, but they, you know, got to that and they said, nah, that's a bridge too far. God asked for anything else, but I can't do that. It's a sad life to live. But remember that faith fact. I can trust God. Abraham trusted God. He got up early the next day. He didn't say, give me a week to think it over. You know, early the next day. And for 3 days, he traveled. 3 days. Oh, God did not make this test easy. It wasn't get up early and let's go do it. 3 days he's walking with his boy. They're telling stories. He's enjoying this kid. It's great. 3 days of walking and every morning getting up and saying, am I going to go back home or am I going to keep going? And he kept going. Oh, I don't know about you, but when I was in school, I liked the true false multiple choice quest. The essay ones were, our Heavenly Father is into essay tests. And not just essay tests. We're talking sometimes a lifetime. Will you trust me? But God, everybody else gets to do this and everybody else gets to do that. And I've been saddled with, and I can't this and I can't that. And do you trust me? Well, you know the story. Abraham arranged the wood. He tied up his son. He set him on top of the wood. He raised his knife, and God said, stop. You've passed the test. You get an A+. Because you trusted me, because you love me, your life's going to be so much more than about your life. I don't know if you remember what we read there. He said, through you, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. Abraham had no idea. He thought this was just upfront and personal about he and his son Isaac. But no, God was testing. God does not test you just to mess with you. He is not entertained by your pain, your misery, your struggle, or your stress. Anything he allows you to go through is with a purpose. And God has taught me in my life that the greatest rewards come after the hardest tests. You need to hang in there and trust him, because he has, all we can think of in the moment is just get through this. How often we ask, how are you doing? Well, I'm hanging in it. Keep hanging, keep hanging, keep hanging, because there will be a day when it will be worth it all. And God will be glorified in magnificent ways, and you will be blessed and favored like never before. Imagine that. By obeying God, your life becomes more than about your life. Well, why do I do this? And why have I done this? And what difference does that make? And how long, oh Lord? And all those questions will be answered definitively. Oh, I see. If I had known, Lord, then I would have done. You do know. We do know. We can trust him. It's with a purpose. It's for a reason. He's not capricious. He doesn't just, oh, well, let's keep him occupied for a while. But in the journey, he's flavoring it. He's showing you. He's teaching us. And he's bringing about things we'll never see in our lifetime. Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Whoa. Abraham didn't live long enough to see that. But we're still living out the promises God made Abraham that day. What we're watching happening in the Middle East. Is anybody afraid that Israel's going to be wiped out? I'm not. Because I know the watcher of Israel is on the job. He's practiced on Larry so that he's good to go in any emergency over there in the Middle East. He's good to go. But when we miss God's will, we miss our chance to be immortal. That this counts for more than what it counts. Oh, maybe you went to your job and you did a few things and you had a savings account and, you know, whatever. You got to go on your 50th wedding anniversary cruise. I can trust God. I must trust God. If I want this to be worth it, if I want it to be worthwhile, I don't know about you, but I got this thing in my craw. I want my life to count for more than just I took up space. I want to leave an imprint of Christ. I want there to be something on the other side when I get there. I want to know that I've done the best I can for his holy name. So my plan is keep seeking God's will for my life and then doing it. Keep seeking his will and then doing it. Keep seeking his will. And that the tests might get harder. Send that son away. I'll kill that one. Keep seeking his will, then keep doing it. I would imagine we have a couple hundred years worth of hunting experience here. How many have ever gotten a buck because its antlers were caught in the thicket? You got a deer because it was stuck somewhere. The ram was stuck in the thicket. His horns were stuck in the thicket. I wonder if that was the first set of horns that was ever mounted. I mean, that's a story, right? You would want to mount that head. I remember we were up on the mountain. Let me tell you the story about it. You're not going to believe this, but you see, when you walk in God, you see things that are impossible happen. You see oceans open up. You the manna shows up. How did it get here? You know, you're walking in God now. You're not walking in the 9-to-5, I earned this and that's what happened. And you know, it happens, other people have seen this too. No. This property that we're on, you need to hear the story someday about how we acquired this property. It's an absolute miracle. We left a good deal to get a better deal. And God just showed up in so many different ways in each step. There's a funny story about when we came up to dedicate the property, one of our members really had to go to the bathroom and he borrowed it. You're going to have to hear that story sometime. And, brush hog and poison sumac and different worship leaders and keyboard players and on the story goes as the body came together, great trials and challenges and building programs and all that kind of stuff. I've got stories because I've lived a life. Somewhere in there, God took my greatest fear and he said, let's do that. Okay. So yeah, I could have climbed the ladder. I could have gone to a small church and been there for a couple years until the leaders were impressed. And then we got to a bigger church and all of that and so on. But there's something fascinating about living on the edge of it. But how in the world are we going to? Lord, with these few people, are you serious? What are we going to do now? How can we get through this? I can trust God. You can trust God. You can trust God. Whatever you're facing right now, it might have to do with you, your children, your grandchildren, somebody that you love. You can trust God. Never been there before? God loves those kinds of tests. But he'll be with you. You know what? He's so awesome. I've even blown a few tests. And he hasn't pushed me away. He allows those to be teachable moments. Come on over here, son. Let me show you where you blew it. Let me show you what you missed. And don't worry. There'll be a harder test in the future. We'll do this thing again. We'll do this thing again. Would you stand with me this morning? I am standing beneath your wings.
Shelter.
Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is it, God. That's, you've spoken that over all of us. This is our story. And we're just walking through it now. I always enjoy watching the recap of games my team has won. If we lost the game, I don't bother watching the recap. But if I know they won, I love watching the recap. And sometimes I watch it over and over again. I like that. Lord, we've already won. We're watching the recap here. You've already done this. Lord, we put on the altar today all of our fear and our worry and our stress. We apologize for making too much of everything. And God, we ask you to properly burden us, but give us that joy of the Lord that we can encourage one another and just walk as if it's already all figured out, because it is. I can trust you. We can trust you, Lord God, and we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.